The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. And I tell you what, the college football storylines, they just continue to develop. The middle of the week, we learned that Florida Gators head coach Urban Meyer, he's stepping aside his resignation, and there are a number of questions to address. We want to find out who in the world is going to fill that slot. And we are so delighted to have along with us our college football expert, our Under the Helmet segment, and that is Jason Peter. Jason, have you recovered from that Big 12 conference title game?
It was difficult. It was very, very difficult. I know you had a smile on your face, but if they only had to play a quarter these days, Nebraska would be Big 12 champs.
Well, it's true, and we'll talk about that here momentarily. Obviously, I mean, there's so many things that we need to discuss, but your thoughts, what was your reaction when you heard that Urban Meyer, that he was stepping aside? It's kind of Brett Favre-like, isn't it? I mean, is he retired or isn't he retired, JP?
Yeah, it was shocking when I saw that scroll across the ticker there, especially following everything that happened a year ago. And, he's come out and said that the reasons behind him stepping down for, what was it, a day or two last year.
It was a day.
Those had nothing to do. They were different reasons altogether, I guess, this year. And I know a lot of people are saying, well, he probably adjusted his schedule and the amount of hours that he put in following last year, and the end result was a 7-5 season. Now, a 7-5 season at Florida, I don't think you count them in for another sub-9 win season next year. They're usually a team that, when you lose a player like Tebow, arguably one of the best player in college football ever, you're probably not going to follow that up with a national championship season. So, I don't know. I'm sure some of it had to do with health. You see a guy like Mark D'Antoni, who out of Michigan State, and having a heart attack, following a huge win. And I think you start to just take a look. I mean, Urban himself, he's had some health issues in the past. And, guy has two national championships underneath his belt. What else does he really need? He's got paid a lot of money over the years, and he'll probably end up coaching again before it's all said and done. But I'm sure he'd probably like to just take a few years to spend some quality time with his kids and his wife.
Take a few years, exhale a bit, and as you said, you're spot on. I mean, in 6 years, he won two national titles. And Jason, you were part of three national championships. You know firsthand what it takes to win. I mean, these coaches are putting in 80 to 90 hours a week. And I have to just say, so many times we talk about mothers, working mothers, and how conflicted you feel in your spirit that you're not spending time with your kids. But, what about the dads too? I mean, if you're a coach, you don't get that opportunity. You miss so many of your kids' events. And he talked about missing so much of his daughter's volleyball careers.
Yeah, every coach that I've played for has said the same thing. Number one was don't go into coaching. And the reason for it was because you miss out on your family. I know a lot of coaches, when they talk about their players, they talk about them as their own children, and I think in a lot of ways that's true, but you hear lots of times about children of football coaches, and a lot of them, especially nowadays with the media and everybody with a camera phone is able to basically be a reporter, I think a lot of stuff is sometimes not good, let's just say, when it comes to these kids and acting out. And, Bill Belichick or Andy Reid has had problems with his kid. He's not the only guy out there, but a lot of coaches, because they're not, that father figure's not home. And, I think a lot of kids, it is probably hard for them sometimes to see their daddy maybe, hugging some 19-year-old kid from, a different state who his father happens to coach. I'm sure there's some jealousy issues in there as well, where it's like, gosh, I wish my dad spent time with me like he does with him, or I wish my dad hugged me like he hugged him after he just made that big play. And you know, it's difficult. I think I know just as a first-time father here over the last couple of years that you don't want to miss anything. You know, I've been fortunate where I've got to spend a lot of time with my kid, and but I know, like, when my wife, if she happens to go back and visit her family for a week or so, it's like, gosh, it's horrible being away from your child for that long.
Absolutely. You know, you talk about the family, but then also just the scrutiny of constant recruiting. I mean, it's relentless. And you hear so many times coaches say, gosh, I feel guilty even taking any time off or even taking a vacation because, you know, that potential recruit, they could come floating through your office and you could, you know, make that impression on him and try to ink him.
I mean, it's a year-round gig, and you're always worrying about what the guy next to you is doing. And if you're a guy who's at the top, everybody else is saying, well, Urban Meyer's putting in 23 hours a day. Well, we got to put in then 23 and a half hours a day. And you know, that's just the way it works when you're a guy who has set the bar. And that's what he did for many years there at Florida. And those were tremendous football teams. But it takes a lot of hours to develop a program like that. I mean, there were some down years there with Ron Zook heading the ship at Florida, and Urban came in and changed them instantly into a national championship team. So a lot of hours, a lot of hard work, and I'm sure part of them says, I just need a break.
Well, it's a tremendous opportunity to coach at Florida. Who do you think is going to be at the forefront? I mean, we've heard names floating around, Bobby Petrino, Kyle Winningham even, you know, hiring back-to-back Utah coaches. Would that be a good thing, perhaps a positive omen?
Well, it seems like John Gruden's name comes up every time there's a big college opening. I think he's happy in the broadcast booth. I don't know if he has any desire to do the things that you just brought up with the recruiting and out on the road, 365 days a year, basically. Why would he want to do that? I'm sure ESPN's paying him a nice check there, and he comes in and breaks down some film. He gets sent out to do an interview here or there. So I don't know if Gruden would take that job. But like you said, Petrino, and that's the name that, it would be interesting to see what happens, because Bobby Petrino is already known as kind of a little snake. And the way that he left everything in Atlanta and Louisville, and you go on, and he's a guy who stands up and says, I'm going to be here, and the next day he's gone. And he's gone, bags packed, and he's not coming back. So it would be interesting. He obviously has done a pretty good job at Arkansas, but Arkansas is not Florida. And I think most coaches look at a handful of programs out there as destination-type jobs. And Florida is, and I don't think Arkansas is.
Another opening, of course, is at Miami, and we're hearing all kinds of rumors right here that, you know, Bo Pelini, that he potentially is what going to be interviewing for that particular job. What are you hearing up there in Lincoln?
It's basically what the most that we've gotten is that the AD down at Miami, who had crossed paths with Bo at Oklahoma, he wants to interview Bo, and Tom Osborne wasn't aware of it. Bo says he's not going to comment, which is not a big shocker when it comes to Bo in the media. But everybody's pretty much, I guess, just waiting to see what happens. It would be shocking. You know, Miami obviously can come up with some major cash to throw at Bo, and I don't feel like Tom Osborne would be threatened by the almighty dollar. I think he feels like when I'm paying him $2 million, he'll probably get another raise this year. His assistants will probably get raises again. But Tom Osborne won't feel pressure to say, well, if Miami offered him $4 million a year, then Nebraska needs to offer him, or we need to match that offer. That's a guy who won three national championships, and the most he ever made was $250,000 in base salary. He never wanted to be paid higher than the highest paid teacher, professor on campus. Sure, he's one of a kind, But I also think there is some of that old school still in him. You know, it's probably not easy for him to write the check for, you know, over $2 million a year to a guy who hasn't won a conference championship, you know, who really hasn't had a huge big win over a, you know, top five program. So we're just kind of waiting and seeing what happens. You know, I know Bo has taken a lot of heat here since the sideline tirades, and you know, people out here are constantly demanding a winner and a championship type team, and they do appreciate the effort and the turnaround. But like everybody else, they want more, and they want more right now. We'll see.
I want to digress for just a moment and back up here. What was the last year for Tom Osborne coaching? Was it in 99?
1997. My last year was his last year.
97. And you're saying that he was never paid more than $250,000 in a base salary per year. I mean, that is incredible.
It was, 13 years ago. And trust me, there were times where they wanted to pay him, you know, $1 million a year or something. And he just said, no. He said, I don't need it. You know, my family, we're fine. You know, anytime he would get bonuses for winning the conference or winning a national championship, he divvied those up amongst the assistant coaches. You know, they don't come like him anymore. And, you know, now it's certainly a different game. The amount that some of these coaches are being made, assistant coaches, I mean, the amount that our defense coordinator, Charlie McBride, made compared to you know, what Carl Pellini makes as a first-time defensive coordinator, it's mind-boggling. But, you know, I think, you know, that's what's almost comical when it comes to Bo and his reluctance to talk to the media, is that the media has been a big part of why these coaches' salaries have become as big as they are, because they've continued to write about football. They've continued to make it into what it is today, and certainly, you know, you can't confuse the blogosphere with the actual media, and I think sometimes Bo does that, you know, because a rumor was started by J.K., you know, Husker fan in Oklahoma or something. You know, you can't take that as, oh, the media said that my quarterback's transferring. Well, I'm not talking to the media anymore. I mean, you got to draw the line. You got to know the difference between the guys that are actually covering it and the guys that are making stuff up. And you know, he's a guy that spent time in the SEC and in the NFL. He knows what other media towns are like. Lincoln and Omaha is not going to be one of the top 10 and toughest to deal with. So a little shocking the way that he's handled all that.
Hey, Jason Peter with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We want to direct you to our radio website. That's eradiosports.com. And check out Jason's website. That is jasonpeter.com. He's got some great info on there. Talk to us about the Heisman. Big night, Saturday night. And of course, everyone hands-on favorite, obviously, is Cam Newton. I'm just very curious. Who did you put on that ballot?
It was difficult, Alyssa. It really was. And I looked to many people that almost say you did the right thing, or yeah, I would have done the same thing. And I'm not finding a lot of non-voters that are coming to my rescue in terms of my peace of mind. But I voted for Cam Newton in the end, and I know that I've had my criticisms about him. The problem that I felt like I was faced with was that this wasn't something that was just kind of out there in Rumorville, and the NCAA, you know, didn't look into it. The NCAA had their own investigation. They looked into it. They came out and said that Cam Newton did nothing wrong, and even though his father did something wrong, Cam didn't, and he's eligible to play. So ultimately, you know, what they're asking me to do, or what you think they're asking you to do, is just to vote for the best college football player out there. And, you know, I think what a lot of people maybe don't understand, or a lot of people maybe think it's easy to do because of the controversy around Cam Newton. Everybody's kind of formed their own opinion of Cam Newton and saying that he's guilty. And I, for one, probably deep down, maybe I do feel like he's guilty. He had some knowledge of something. But then I had to ask myself, what if there is the slightest chance that he didn't know anything? And this was then the best player in college football that didn't win the Heisman Trophy. I think, for me, it's easier for the NCAA 5 years from now, if it's a whole Reggie Bush type thing, to look at it and say, all right, well, Cam Newton, he cheated. We're taking his Heisman away. And I think they should do it with the Reggie Bush year. Give it to the guy who came in second. Give it to the guy who finished second. Obviously, he was the second best. If that guy who won it was ruled ineligible, then this guy probably would have won. So I don't understand why they haven't done that with Reggie Bush, but I think it's easier to do that than it is to say, oh, 5 years from now, he didn't do anything, but we didn't give him the Heisman Trophy. You know, I think it's an easier fix this way than it is the other way.
So what are your thoughts on his...
Tell me I'm right. Please tell me you made a decent decision, Jason. I understand because I'm having a hard time sleeping at night.
No, I'm sure that you wrecked a lot of leagues because, you know, we talked about this throughout the college football season. You know, who are you perhaps leaning towards? And I'm sure it's not easy. I think, you know, in many ways, in my mind, that can even solidify that. If you watched Auburn last weekend against South Carolina, I mean, Newton was fantastic. I mean, you know, a career high 355 yards and throwing for 4 touchdowns. I mean, he is obviously a very, very special player and has a very bright future. I just, you know, I think he's just getting, you know, terrible, I don't know, guidance and instruction from his father, and he's been very misled in many ways. There's no way that he was unaware of some of the improprieties and things that were going on. But, you know, we'll just have to kind of wait and see and see how it all shakes itself out. So certainly difficult. We are quickly running out of time, though, Jason. We went long in our first segment as we were talking about the Oregon Ducks. Talk to us as far as just kind of recap the Big 12 title game. I mean, I thought no matter what, Oklahoma got off to a slow start. They were down 17, but they were able to rally, and certainly a great lesson in that, but difficult for the Cornhuskers.
Yeah, I mean, they jumped out, and 17-0. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better start by the end of that first quarter, and it was a tale of two halves. Oklahoma came out and they really started to dominate that game in the second quarter, and Nebraska, you turned the ball over 4 or 5 times. It's like I said on the show last week, you can't give Oklahoma any more opportunities to score than what they already have coming. And that's what they did. You know, the freshman quarterback was like a deer in headlights. Everybody is second-guessing the decision to play Taylor Martinez. Or, you know, should they have pulled him at some point? You know, Sean Watson's play calling is certainly being questioned. It seems like every time that Nebraska finds something that works, he wants to be that multiple guy, so he goes away from it. And, you know, that was something there towards the end of the game when Nebraska had to put that drive together for the tie field goal. And they had Rex Burkhead running the Wildcat, and it was working, and Nebraska was moving the ball down the field. And with a guy like Alex Henry, the kicker for Nebraska, on the sidelines, I mean, you get inside 50, it's pretty much money in the bank with him. And Nebraska, I think it was a 3rd and 8 or something, and they decided that they were going to then throw the football. And Taylor Martinez got his head taken off back there with Oklahoma, the defensive line and the blitzing that they were bringing. And Bob Stoops and Venables made some great halftime adjustments, and they said, if they're going to beat us, then he's going to have to do it with his arm. And they just weren't able to do that.
I will say one thing, you know, obviously Nebraska, they're heading off to the Big Ten Conference. It was good to hear some rumors we're going to have here in the next couple of weeks, Oklahoma's athletic director, Joe Castiglione, and as I understand, they're working really hard and diligently to try to schedule a home and away series with Nebraska, which I think will be really nice. We'd like for this very special and unique rivalry to continue throughout the years, Jason.
Yeah, I don't know why you couldn't do something every year.
I agree.
Mean, you know, I know they're all going to say, well, you don't want to play that difficult of a game early on. But, hey, if you're a team that is a national championship contender, you want to play the best teams out there. And truth be told, if you're going to lose, you'd rather lose early in the season than later. So I think there's an opportunity there to still do something with this rivalry because it brought back some old times and some great times. And, you know, like I said before, you just wanted to see a hard-fought football game, and that's what you got.
Absolutely. Jason, thank you so much for joining us. We will catch up with you next week, recap the Heisman, and also start previewing the BCS national title game and run, which will be a lot of fun. JP, have a great weekend. We will talk to you again real soon.
Thanks for having me, Alyssa.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead.